This is the midweek service for the third week of Lent. Pastor Magruder's sermon is entitled, 40 for Life, Israel, God's Discipline for Life.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus, amen. 40 days and 40 nights may seem like a long time to us,
but it would sound pretty good if you were Israel in the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights was a long time for Noah to listen to the roar of the waters from inside the ark. 40 days and 40 nights was a long time for Moses to be on Mount Sinai listening to the Lord. But 40 days and 40 nights for the people of Israel in the wilderness, well, that would have been a dream. What they got instead was 40 years. Of course, that's not how God planned it. It only took a month at most to go from Sinai to the border of the land the Lord promised to give them. The trouble started when they got there. Maybe you remember the account of the 12 spies that were sent into Canaan to spy it out, to see how they might go in. 10 of the 12 told them not to go. Well, the land was good, just as God had promised, but the people in it were too big, they were too powerful, the cities were too well fortified. So the people mistrusted the word of God through Moses and said, "We aren't going." They forgot the mighty deeds God had done to bring them out of Egypt. They forgot how bad things were in Egypt and started making plans to abandon Moses and go back. And had it not been for Moses' intercession for them, God would have wiped them out and started over with Moses and made him a nation mightier and greater than Israel. After all, he had created them from Abraham, one man. But Moses did intercede, not because the people deserved anything, but for the sake of God's name, that it wouldn't be profaned and belittled as if God was unable to finish what he started. So God decided, 40 years. 1 year for each day the spies were in the land of Canaan. That's how long the people would have to wait. That's how long the people would have to live in the wilderness. That's how long God would discipline them, to teach them to rely on him and turn to him and to trust him. It wasn't what God had planned, but it was what his people needed. It would be 40 years from death to life. He never stopped caring for them, even though they were a rebellious lot. For 40 years, he fed them with manna. For 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out. For 40 years, their feet didn't swell. For 40 years, God provided all they needed. God disciplined them, yes, but he also shepherded them. He remained with them. Did it have to be 40 years? Couldn't 40 months have done the trick? But as with Noah and Moses and their 40 days, this is the time of God's choosing for this journey from death to life, from slavery to the promised land. 40 years would reflect the greatness of his fatherly love and his long suffering. For again, as we heard, "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you." And discipline is love. It doesn't always seem that way, though. As we heard in the reading from Hebrews, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline is different than punishment, though sometimes we use those terms interchangeably. Punishment has to do with repayment, with retribution. But discipline is for teaching, training, improvement. Sometimes the two overlap, but not always. When it's happening to you, sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. But everything from our merciful Father is meant for your good. And the punishment we deserve? Well, that gets put on his only Son at Calvary's cross. Jesus took that for you, in your place, so you're forgiven. But your Father will still discipline you, because he loves you, so that we may share his holiness. Israel needed a long discipline. It took them a long time to unlearn bad habits and wrong thinking. They had ups and downs. One step forward was often followed by two steps back. But through it all, their Father was working for them and in them to help them. And it's no different for us. How is God disciplining us? I know things in my own life that have not been pleasant and sometimes downright frightening, but in the end, good for me. Things that I can now look back and pray a prayer of thanks. Then, at the time, maybe not, but now, yes. And your Father loves you enough to do that, and keep doing that, even if it takes 40 years, because at the end of your journey through this world, He wants life for you. And it is the cross that is our focus this Lenten season that shows us that relentless love of God for us. Apart from the cross, either looking forward to it in the Old Testament or looking back to it in these New Testament times, apart from the cross, we couldn't know the difference between the punishment of God and the discipline of God. We couldn't be sure. And an unknown God is frightening. That's why all other religions, which really don't know the true God, the God of love, are always trying to appease Him and make Him like them. It's an endless task and one you can never be sure you've accomplished. But when you look at the cross, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, well, then you know who God is and His love for the whole world. The Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world, so that we who are in Christ Jesus are receiving everything good from God. All good, every good, even when that good is discipline. And through it all, we know that we are forgiven people. We have been sprinkled by the blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. For the blood we've been sprinkled with, the blood of Jesus, cries out not for vengeance, but for our forgiveness. Through the wilderness of this life, we journey not from life to death, but from death to life. And if we need His discipline on the way, God's discipline for life, then thank you, Father, for loving me enough to do that. Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who, with the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.